I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ruth, we might need to redo the verification of quorum because I didn't realize I hadn't hit the start button.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, so this is September 27th and the time is 6:11 and we have Alan Krennic and Sheila Zuchik and Ruth Ann Stricker, which creates a quorum for the Pines and Plains Libraries trustee meeting. And Susan is here and Nat is here and
Anders
is here. Okay. So we did. Sorry.
We need a motion to accept the agenda?
Yes, we have a what?
Oh, is that one item not on here? I guess I didn't. So we were going to add an item about holidays.
Yes.
You want to slide that in?
So which number would that be?
You decide where you want to put it.
I'd say maybe put that in under after the director's report. Okay.
Okay.
So I move that we adopt the agenda with the addition of discussing the holidays, library holidays.
Okay.
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. I want you to know I brought my fan. I'm already hot. Okay. So we've got the number four. There's a consent agenda, August 23rd, 2023 meetings, minutes. And so this is where we have to accept all these things.
You can just do it all at once.
Can we do it all? To accept the minutes from the August meeting and correspondence, which says none. The August bank reconciliation and the August...
And Alan's going to do that.
Okay. Our Bank of the West, which is now BMO, we had a starting balance of $716,325.13. We had interest, which was our deposit and credits for the month, of $1,277.61. So our current balance there is $717,602.74. I love it when they're making the $1,200 a month. Okay, our Community Banks of Colorado, our money market account, we have $705,129.01. And our interest, we don't do quite as well there, but we had interest of $680.98. So our current balance is $705,809.99. Our checking account with the Colorado banks is the starting balance was $891,268.89. We had checks and payments of 29 items, which checks and payments was total $27,705.68. And then we had deposits and credits, which totaled $37,956.20. Which was 11 items. So we have currently we have $901,519.41. And then in the Colorado Bank's payroll account. We had a starting balance of, and this was before payroll, of $179,265.72. We had checks and payments out of that, which was seven items. This is before the second payroll was done, of $38,291.65. So, and I assume this doesn't show the deposit of that we made late last week, but we, according to when they did the reconciliation, we have $140,974.07. But Susan and I did make a deposit out of the checking account in the amount of $63,000 to make sure that we have enough money to cover payroll the rest of this month. So that's not reflected in.
August should be 67% of the year, so we haven't, we're not spending up to the point that we should be spending, or either that
you could have it,
or you can look at it that we're doing really well because we haven't spent as much as we could have spent.
So, okay,
either way.
Okay, so now do we have to have a motion to accept all this?
So I make a motion to approve all the items on the consent agenda as presented.
I would second that.
Okay. Do we have to ask any discussion? Or all in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Okay, committee reports. This is interesting. It's like, this, I know it has nothing to do with me. And who was all on that committee?
The committee actually did meet. Robert and Alan met, and we finalized the list of the key informants. And we passed that on to Anders. And Anders has been touring all day today, and so we've had quite the adventure. what was the most? Oh, you think the best story was the broken door of Iowa and the stolen chocolate?
And the stolen candy. Yeah. That's so, I'm gonna lodge that one and tell it for a few more years. That's a good one. The staff there described how on a couple instances the back door at the Kiowa branch, nine panes of glass, and the lower left pane has twice been broken, and they've reached in, unlocked, gone into the library, and stolen candy from the candy dish that's by that back door. And, you know, and it's clearly I'm making a presumption here, but an accurate presumption, you know, some young snots that are they could take a lot more expensive stuff than candy, but they're candy and strewing wrappers around to let everyone know that they've been there and what they can do. It just amused me during the course. But as Susan has explained, we spent the day touring through the expanse of the service area that you have. I knew going into this that it was going to be critical that I understand, the territory and the geography and the distances that are involved. And, I'll say the sparseness of it as well. And that's basically what we've been focused on for the day. Met at Elizabeth, to Simla, up to Agate, Kiowa. We drove through the northwest corner of the county so that I could get some sense of the development that's happening there. Back to Elizabeth to tour through that facility, and then at the end of the day here, to have a chance to tour through this facility and then meet with you. I mean, it's just, you know, my brain is full. My gas tank is getting close to empty. But all that all, you know, conspires to mean it has been a good and productive day. I mean, I'm looking forward to continuing to working with you all and with staff. We have, as Susan mentioned, the finalized list of key informants. And I think Susan and I will have a telephone conference at the beginning of next week. As it happens, my lovely wife is along with me on this trip, and we're spending a couple days here at the end of this week so that Marcia can get her periodic mountain fix, which she, you know, we live in central Illinois, which is, you know, so she needs that from time to time. But it, you know, I think when we get back, you know, we'll have a phone converse and start to really iron out the logistics of those key informant interviews and the structured group interviews. As part of your packet, there's a memo that I sent to Susan a few days ago with draft scripts for those interviews, the key informant interviews, structured group interviews. There's a certain generic element to those scripts, but as I said to Susan during the course of the day, this is a starting point that has served me well over the last 30 to 40 years of doing this kind of community data gathering. Yeah, I don't know that I don't know that I'd like to have a conversation with you about that right now, because you haven't had a chance to see these. You know, that's kind of workshop consulting to hold something up. You know, what do you think of this? Well, I see a ducky and a horsey. But you know, knowing that Susan and I are going to be talking at the beginning of next week, you know, if over the next couple of days you can take a look at those two scripts and pass along any questions, concerns, suggestions to Susan, and we can get that into the mix ahead of those interviews. The interviews are the next, you know, significant task in the work plan. Those are happening over the next 4 or so weeks. And you know, after that, we will be rolling up our sleeves and working, you know, with the committee, with Susan and the management team, to start thinking about, you know, what this community input means. We will be looking at some other data gathering efforts and assimilating all of that and creating an expression of the library's long-term service goals, which in turn will lead directly to an expression of the long-term space needs at each of the library's locations. I mean, Susan, is there anything else you wanted me to convey based on our day?
Just you're also working on the data and evaluating all that. Do you want to just
right? I mean, we've ahead of this visit, we assembled a compilation of the library's annual report data going back to the year 2000. It's helpful to be able to track a library's development or progress or lack thereof over time. We frankly did not pass that along to the board members at this moment because there were, you know, what I thought were a handful of hiccups in the data. I think I wanted to have a chance to talk with Susan and some of the managers about that. yeah, for the most part, I think the hiccups amount to just like an inconsistency, you know, a gap in staffing, you know, or a new staff member coming in and recording things a little bit differently. And so I mean, absolutely nothing alarming about it, but you know, I wanted to have a chance to clear things with the managers before we pass. Fair warning, you'll get this dumped in your lap shortly. We're also going to be doing some peer comparative analyses. You know, we know, for instance, that the library has 60 some thousand items in its collection.
Yeah.
Good to know, but is that a lot or is it not a lot? You know, one way that we can do that, one way that we can kind of flesh that out is to put the library in the context of a group of libraries from across the country that we deem to be peers. And we've made a preliminary selection of libraries nationwide that serve 25 to 35,000 population. That brackets your current population, 27,000 plus, and your projected population, 33,000 plus. You know, so it kind of, we think it kind of covers the waterfront, and we will, you know, review that groups. There are 550 libraries nationwide that serve that population. We'll, you know, examine the collective experience of that group to kind of figure out what the normative collection size is, and that'll help us evaluate collection size. We'll do the same for circulation and the number of annual visits, and that will help us understand what's happening here. You know, one of the numbers that that interests me is the fact that this library operates four facilities. Yeah. Most libraries that serve 25,000 population, give or take, operate one.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious. I want to see if there's a way that we can parse the numbers to help us understand, you know, what the impact of operating four facilities are. One of the things that's crossed my mind, just to give you an example of how these thought processes work, one of the factors that's crossed my mind is, you know, the fact that this library is a county library. You know, a lot of those libraries that serve 25,000 population, 30,000 population, they're municipal libraries. They serve much smaller geographic service areas. So we can parse the federal database in a way that culls out only other libraries that serve entire counties. You know, so one of the things we want to do is, you know, do a subset of the full database and just see where it takes us in hopes that it can help us understand what's happening here in Pines and Plains. So yeah, we're, and this is maybe an example of how, you know, Susan just gave me a little nudge and I've been kind of bounding down the hill, happily bounding down the hill for the last 5-10 minutes. Anything else that we wanted to
think? I don't know. It's been a really fun day, though, looking around. And
yeah, that makes that. I am so happy to hear that, because it's supposed to be fun. You know, I mean, these are, you know, I'm not going to pull any punches. These are mission critical considerations and decisions that lay before you. I mean, I got interested in helping libraries in the run-up to planning buildings. That run-up has to focus on the services the library wants to provide, needs to provide. You know, that's going to determine everything about the buildings that needs to happen. You know, we start with services, you know, and you know, ultimately it turns into, you know, some kind of facilities improvement. But once those improvements are made, I mean, they're cast in stone, literally. Yeah. And that makes these decisions, as I said a moment ago, mission critical. You know, it's just these are ultimately very long lasting decisions. You know, that's why you know, this work is important. That's why I get juiced about all this. This is why it's daunting sometimes, but it needs to be fun too, because it's just, we're dealing with, you know, important and fun questions. You know, I do have a question for the table, because I know you have a big full agenda here yet to tackle. Yeah, and just to, and it is simple, just to give the trustees an opportunity to pass along to me, you know, concerns that you have, priorities that you might have about, you know, it's just things that you think I should know about and be aware of about the Pines and Plains Libraries system. Just anything. But be careful, because my brain is almost full. Just saying.
Mine's pretty empty.
I mean, you know, kind of what are the core questions that you have going into this process?
Think back to all the times that you've said, let's do this. And I've said, wait, let's wait till we have the community needs assessment. How many times has that happened? So.
No, I mean, I know that, and you probably have been told this, that one of the big concerns around out here is, well, controversial concerns is about growth, that there's a lot of mixed feelings about it and a lot of pessimism, I would say, that growth may not be like the best thing. I kind of glanced at your questions that you were asking. You were talking about getting hopes for the community and you know, in light of that pessimism, I mean, that's, you know, people could have a whole focus group just are hashing out what that question. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, focusing on what is it that people want? I mean, some people will tell you, well, I just want things to be the way they are, nothing to change.
Yeah.
But I think that that it's safe to say that the growth is coming. So the question, so it really, we want to get a sense of, you know, how do we take in all this growth and all of these new people and still keep the sense of the small town kind of rural community that we are. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably that's a concern of mine. It's one I hear people talk about. It seems to me like a lot of people don't know how to express that, or maybe they're just expressing something different and I'm not getting it.
You know, it reminds me, I've heard from staffs, you know, wanting over the years a bunch of times, you know, they want, they want the library. The library needs to grow, but they want to keep the coziness, if you will, within the building. And, you know, I've got a jokingly said after I've heard that, I say, well, you want the coziness of overcrowding without the overcrowding. That's, you know, that's.
That's a good one.
I mean, I can't imagine anybody saying, no, I don't want, you know, internet at the library. Yeah. I mean, there's nobody who's going to say that. But when you talk about, you know, what comes with, you know, expanding your library, expanding your services, mm-hmm. you know, there's going to be tech in there and it's going to be different.
Yep.
So.
Other particulars that you want to get on my radar scope as we're getting started?
Well, hopefully it was apparent that we have kind of a lopsided growth situation in that the county is really spread out and we're trying to cover as much of the county as possible. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of city centers or urban areas that there are concentrations of people. But we do have one area that is, we're expecting serious growth, mm-hmm. and how much and how fast remains to be seen. Some of us are a little more concerned than others.
Mm-hmm.
And my whole purpose for being on the board was I was I'm a retired construction guy, so that's where my expertise is. And
when you're not looking at dogs.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I want us to have X amount of growth with some restraints. I don't want to lose the small town atmosphere because I like it. We're close to the big city, but we have a small town atmosphere where everybody pretty much knows everybody. Mm-hmm. Maybe not always, but it's amazing. You talk to one person and that person knows half of your friends, and so it's nice.
Yeah,
I would like for things to stay that way, and for us to be able to offer good service mm-hmm. as a library for the money spent.
Okay. Once again, I apologize for being late. I got totally messed up. So anyway, in thinking about getting things changed, Elizabeth is growing more than out here. And the building has such capacity to do all kinds of things. So I think that's one of the things maybe we should focus with first, do you think?
I agree. My thought is we have people that are expecting us to do great things. The problem is, how much can we afford and how fast? And so that's probably the biggest consideration. You know, what can we do for the bucks without going off the deep end?
Right.
I'd like to mention this particular library being in the school.
Mm-hmm.
And not being an actual, in my opinion, it might be kind of off-putting for some people to come to the school to use the library. I know that I met the new Elizabeth School District supervisor, and he was talking about, well, maybe we could put a library in one of the other elementary schools. And I'm like, I'd really like to see the library stand alone as much as possible.
I agree with that. I this deal right here,
it's kind of
it's a strange operation. It seems to work right now, but I think most of us on the board at some time in the future, we would like to see this become a standalone facility in this area.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would get more use because people after hours and weekends, this place doesn't have as good access as if it was a standalone.
Sure, sure. Yeah, and I think your hesitation about people maybe being reluctant or hesitant to come here, you know, I've said so a few times today that, you know, I grew up in a family of educators. My mother was a teacher. We had teachers and principals coming in and out of the house all the time. And, you know, based on my experience, you know, growing up, I don't know a single one of those principals or school administrators from back home who would be enthusiastic about having, you know, regular folk coming into the school building. Mm-hmm. You know, and this was, you know, this was in the 60s before, you know, things got complicated.
I think also it impacts, you know, what content that we can provide here too, we can have in the collection.
Yeah.
You know, there's always the opportunity for controversy about what is age appropriate to have here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and there are questions that arise about, you know, materials challenges. You know, who's going to hear that in this facility? Is it the school board? Is it the library board? Do you somehow do that together? And, you know, You know, I spent 14 years working for the Wisconsin State Library Agency, and this question came up a lot, you know, especially in the rural parts of the state. Yeah, and almost inevitably, when it comes up because, you know, the people who are raising the question don't have an appreciation of the complexities involved with a solution. Yeah, and it's just, it's very complex. It is very complex. But I hear your comments and concerns, and I think I understand them. Yeah.
Okay.
Anything else for the good of the cause, or can I let you get back to your agenda? You know, we'll be back. I know we're looking to have another session with you at the at my next site visit. When we'll be doing the structured group interviews, and you know, maybe we can, you know, kind of stretch that out a little and have an opportunity to get more extensive input from the board.
We really appreciate your time that you come.
Yes. Thank you very much for coming.
I appreciate the opportunity to come back to this part of the country.
Pretty here.
It's beautiful.
You said you're from Central Illinois.
Yeah.
How close to Peoria is that?
Oh, just down the road. Normal Bloomington.
I was at Peoria earlier.
I feel your pain.
In Jane, in July. It was Father Jesus, right at the State Fair.
And no, well, that would have been Springfield.
No,
were you in Peoria at Peoria, State Fair time?
At State Fair time there. There. I did a deal on, I always had like 50 people hanging over the barricade watching me from the State Fair while I judged. So it was interesting. Normally I don't have that much pressure.
One of my clients just before the pandemic set in was the library in Peoria, Arizona, which is a suburb of Phoenix. It's 170 some thousand. It's going to grow to 250,000. But they are rapidly expanding to the north and wanted a scheme for addressing that growth into a very large, and it's kind of like a funnel that goes out this way. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and more spread out, kind of like you all here. But it was formed by some folks who moved west from Peoria.
I have a question.
The name.
You may know an answer, may not. Our collection size, for our size demographic, are we high, low, average?
I don't know the answer to that, but let me answer a different question.
Okay.
That is, I think it'd be useful to you as well. You know, I don't know the answer to your question, how do you compare? Because we haven't really completed that peer comparative analysis that I mentioned earlier. But I will tell you that on balance, over the course of the last generation, so you know, 20 years, public library collections have been getting leaner. The number of volumes held per capita in all U.S. public libraries peaked in 2003. Oh. It's been going down every year since.
Does that include electronic?
It doesn't. Physical volumes. I'm concerned. I tend to get concerned with physical volumes because that's what we put on the shelf and that's what chews up space for us. You know, and I think your question speaks to part of the reason why collections are getting leaner. You know, more stuff is available electronically. You know, they're also getting leaner because libraries have digital collection assessment tools that make, you know, a 60,000 volume, a 60,000 item collection like you all have today, you know, that behaves like an 80,000 item collection from 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. But, you know, from a space planning standpoint, key point, collections are getting leaner. Volume per capita has been decreasing for 20 years. Audio recordings per population has been in decline for about 7 years now. The only component of a typical public library's physical collection that continues to grow is video. and the rate of growth is slowing, and that's going to join the party at some point soon. You know, so I mean, I think as you know, for the last 10 years, as I've been working with libraries, you know, and we think to the future to establish a collection development goal, one of the issues that we always seek to address in each locality is how are we going to reflect that reality that collections are getting leaner? But there you go. We'll have a we'll have an answer for the next question the next time I'm here.
Interesting.
Anyway.
Okay.
There you go. Don't ask me anything else because I'm going to start tumbling down the hill again.
Well, we want to thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you all. This is going to be a good time. We're going to have fun.
Okay.
All right.
There you go.
It's time for the director's report. So let me start with some employee updates. So our candidate for branch manager of Kiowa and Elbert notified me the Friday before she was to start the following Monday that she had accepted another position. And so we reposted it as fast as we could. We interviewed candidates on September 18th, and I'm feeling very superstitious, so I'm not going to share any more than that. We're looking good, though. We're looking good. Janie Eno, the lead at Elizabeth, her last day was September 15th. Mm-hmm. She took a week off to travel, and the retirement party for her is this Friday, September 29th at 5 p.m., and we invite you to attend that. It's a potluck. And if you'd like to attend, just please let Nat know what category you might think about bringing to that potluck to celebrate Janie's retirement. And we have interviewed candidates for Jamie's position, and our finalist is one of our substitutes. Her name is Lori Pagelop, and so she's going to be starting quite soon as the new lead at Elizabeth. The newsletter, we're continuing to send those out about every 2 weeks, just keeping them very short with only two topics. We have over 2,000 subscribers, so we're pleased to be getting the word out about some of our new databases and all that kind of stuff. The circulation and the stats are in your packet. Looks like we have some blanks again. Mm-hmm. So I can't tell you the final circulation for August, but July, I don't think I had July's numbers. So it is July is up considerably over July of 2022. So that is looking good. And hopefully then at the October meeting, I'll be able to report to you the August number. So I apologize for being behind with all of these things. Facilities, Kiowa, the back door installation has been delayed yet again. So it was supposed to be Monday. We're not holding our breath. So we'll get there. Sesquicentennial. So Elbert County is going to celebrate its 150th anniversary of its forming on February 13th of 2024. That's the actual date. But there's a group meeting throughout the county. We met last Thursday for the first time, and we're going to be meeting every other week to plan the celebration. So we don't know yet what kind of form it will take. We've been talking about, you know, having our summer reading program fit into this somehow. So we'll see how that goes. I wanted to give you a quick update about Senate Bill 23303, which is also known as Proposition HH. So we'll go over the budget a little bit later. I have the numbers from the assessor, we'll talk about that. But I talked with our lawyer yesterday to ask what her suggestions were regarding, there's a requirement in HH, if you meet a certain status, you're supposed to have a public hearing to opt out of the inflationary property tax limit. And so I asked our lawyer, what should we do about that? And she recommended, just to make sure that we're covering all of our bases, that we should go ahead and have that hearing to opt out of the inflationary property tax limit. So we can talk about this later when we talk about the budget, but we can have it because we have to have a budget hearing as well. And so we have to send the notice to the newspaper for both the budget hearing and this special hearing for Proposition HH. We can do them at the same time. We'll put the notice in the newspaper at the same time, and we can have it at the same meeting. Do you remember in the past, have you had your budget hearing at the October meeting, or has it been in the November meeting? Mike, I think it was at the November meeting last year.
I thought it was the November meeting.
Sprung on us in the meeting.
Well, there was a December meeting that was the very last thing. If you hadn't passed the budget yet.
Yeah.
The trick is that the November meeting is like that Tuesday before Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's a tough time for you all. I think that we should have everything together to be able to do it at the October meeting, if you want to do it.
Well, let me ask, do we need to have these meetings before the election?
That's a good question. So by law, we have certain deadlines. So by law, I'm supposed to give you the draft budget by the 15th of October, which I'm doing tonight. Let me pull my notes for the part about the budget hearing, if there's a date for the budget hearing. I've got my blue book today. You got your blue book today?
Yeah, me too.
And there's only two items in there.
Only two items, and one was HH?
Long pages of HH.
Yeah.
I didn't open it yet.
Yeah. So let me check my calendar and see. And plus, there's different things going on this year because if HH passes, we have a little bit of extra time to do the certification of our mill levy. So that's different. But where's my? Oh, I literally pulled it out. Okay. So our normal board. So our Pines and Plains board operations calendar says the budget public hearing is anywhere from September through November. The law doesn't tell me when we have to have that budget hearing. So, Okay. All right. Well, then let's just aim for October, because that sounds safer, huh?
Okay. Our meeting for October would be the 25th.
Yeah.
And so.
Okay. Let's aim for that, because I'm going to need to get that in the newspaper as fast as I can. So and oh.
Somebody wave.
Yeah. It's on the left side over there. There we go. Cool. Okay. All right. So we'll go for October 25th for our budget hearing and for this special hearing for the inflationary property tax limit. So it's going to be just kind of like a, in case we need it, we have to have this hearing. And then I try to let you know ahead of time my time off. And I still have on the schedule my family vacation to Legoland, October 17th through the 21st. However, my mom has been put on hospice care. And so I'm going to leave tomorrow to drive to Kansas. So the doctor says this amount of time, the nurse says, and the doctor doesn't know what he's talking about. And so anyway, but yeah, so there we are with that. And then I just wanted to let you know, too, that my husband and I have been talking about this, and I know that you all wanted me to move to Elbert County, but we haven't been able to find a house. And so we made a decision that we're just going to stay where we are in Highlands Ranch. And we bought an EV, so at least I'm a little bit more clean with my commute. So I just wanted to share that with you. We started looking last November, and I just can't find anything that's comparable to that I can afford, that we can afford. That's
what brand of car is it?
The house. I can't afford the house.
Oh, God.
The EV, we used our down payment that we're saving for the house for that, but not to pay for the full thing, obviously. That we bought a Kia EV6.
Cool.
So yeah. So
she has to wear a racing cap now.
actually, I drive more cautiously. I got in because today I drove our Subaru because we were tootling around in the middle of nowhere, and I didn't want to like run out of juice somewhere. And so the accelerator on the Subaru was like, wow, this is pretty exciting. So I had to learn to drive
again. Is there a place for you to charge up out here once you get out here?
There is in Elizabeth.
There is.
No, actually, there are two places. Yeah, they just added a new one in Elizabeth. So
I have a plug in my garage if you need one.
Oh, okay. I'll come over to your house then.
I mean, maybe that's something other that we need to add to our wish list for
a library.
A library or our Elizabeth library.
Yeah. The one in downtown Elizabeth, it's just on the edge of that empty parking lot on Main Street. And it was a partnership between Core Electric and the town. So and they just did it also in Douglas County. So I'm thinking I may need to give Core Electric a call and see. The only problem is that we don't know how we would use our space. But if we just go ahead and do it, you know. But I also feel a little guilty because I have now a motive of this is why I want to.
Well, I think it's a coming thing. And so I think it's a thing that we need to be looking seriously at at least two of our libraries, maybe the third one. I don't know.
I agree. It's going to become more commonplace. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of a recent client in Scarborough, Maine, where they had, I think, two charging stations out in front of their current library in the parking lot. I come from normal Bloomington, where there's the long shuttered Mitsubishi plant that's now producing Rivian trucks, electric trucks, the normal as a result has stations all over.
Mm.
They've been trying to be at the front end of that.
But it's transformation. It really is the perfect partnership with libraries, because libraries are about the only place that you can go and hang out and you don't have to pay anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because the charging stations, we haven't put it in our garage yet. And I've been at Walmart and I've been at King Supers, and it's like if I don't feel like shopping, you know, I've been sitting in my car and, oh, then it got dark and now I can't read, you know, but I can also, we went out for Korean food too, because there's a Korean restaurant right near the charger. So, you know, there's different options, You have to get creative. So it's also close to an ice cream shop, which is dangerous. So that's all I have on my director's report. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. So do we have to do anything now?
So yeah. So it's the very last page of your handout is our schedule. And I didn't notice this until one of my employees was saying, wait, why are you saying Sunday is a holiday? Because we don't we're never open on Sunday. So, and our employee handbook says that we have 10 holidays a year. And if you count these, So
you either have to make
right
a Saturday holiday or a Monday holiday.
So there's a couple different options probably where we could do, like, everybody always wants the day after Thanksgiving off. Or if we did Tuesday the 26th for the day after Christmas. Or the thing is that not very many people work on a Saturday. So if you put the holiday on a Saturday, it would impact four people in the district.
Do you get a lot of people in the library the day after Thanksgiving?
I don't know. I don't really know.
Can you offer them a floating holiday?
The library.
What? Yeah, we could do that. That's a great idea.
A floating holiday where you can say, you can have the Friday after Thanksgiving, or you can have the Tuesday after Christmas.
That's a great idea to do a floating holiday. What do you guys think about that? I hadn't thought about that.
I like the floating holiday.
Do you think will that create any staffing issues? Do you think?
Everybody
wants the same day.
We'd have to work around it. But, I mean, they couldn't have the same day. Give them the choice between the two.
They can have the choice between those two. And if needs be, would seniority be a factor? Senior person gets first choice?
Yeah, we could do that. And I have the 2024 meeting schedule ready for you, but I'll bring that, I think, to the next meeting or the meeting after that. So, okay. So seniority.
We have to have a motion on that. Or it doesn't matter.
No, it's not really that,
all right,
that important. Okay, cool.
Good idea.
Okay.
Hey, I worked for a company for a while. Okay, so I'm not sure what this number 7 means. Remedy?
So what happened last time was we adjourned the meeting, and then I brought an HR issue up. So I take this on, and then we discussed it. So in that respect, it should have been part of the meeting. And so what you do when you do that is you remedy that thing by having the same discussion again. The lights just went out in this room again.
Something wants to sleep. Probably after a certain hour it goes to the timer.
Yeah. Yeah. So you remedy that situation. So we, in order to have that HR discussion, we need to go into executive session. And so the terminology is in the paperwork here.
Okay.
About how to do that.
So we need a motion to hold an executive session meeting of our board to discuss a human resources issue.
Right.
Is that right? We need a motion.
So you can, I mean, it's even like right here, we can even read that on the one. Looks like it has the...
This piece of paper. Do you want me to read this?
Whoever wants to make the motion.
Well, I'll make the motion. I make a motion pursuant to Section 24.6.402.4 of the Colorado Revised Statutes, I move that this regular public meeting of the board of the Pines and Plains Library adjourn, and upon affirmative vote of 2/3 of the members present, reconvene in executive session for the sole purpose of discussing the HR issue. That, okay. As authorized by which one?
Sixth one down.
Personnel matters. The following matters must be, okay, it says exceptions, because those are just, so this is a personnel matter that should not be discussed in public.
Yeah, so we just need the citation there, 24.6.402.4.
Circle, I'll put a circle on.
The name of the bottom part isn't.
So do we have to?
No.
The bottom part isn't.
Yeah, we have. I second that motion.
Okay. All in favor? Or do we have any discussion?
Yes, we can have a discussion.
After. Okay. It's September 27th at 7:21, and we are reconvening the board meeting of the Pines and Plains Library. Okay, so our next item is the proposed 2024 budget.
So I included in your packet, this is the format that we've been using, but I did change it slightly. I used the format that the auditor uses, topics, so like salaries and benefits, facilities, programs and outreach, those are all the topics that the auditor uses. And then the green lines in 2022 actual, those are also numbers from the auditor, so those are like real numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So the proposed budget, the regular number is if Proposition HH does not pass, we could get $1.67 million in property tax. If HH does pass, we would get 1.596 roughly in property tax. So my budget is identical, except if you look under administration on the second page, it's the third category down on the second page. So the treasurer's fee, we pay that to the treasurer based on how much money that we get from the treasurer in property taxes. So that number, those two numbers are different. So if we get more money in property tax, we would pay more money in the treasurer's fee. If we get with HH, we'll get slightly less. So we would pay less to the treasurer's.
We would pay less to the treasurer. And then I'm talking about, oh, sorry. Oh, so yeah.
So that's basically the only change. And then what I'm recommending is you can make this decision if you think it should be different, but at the very bottom of the whole thing, if we do not have Proposition HH, I would say let's put $300,000 away in the capital improvement fund as our contribution for the year. But if HH does pass, let's only put $200,000 away. So in savings. Does that make sense to mm-hmm. you guys?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It is basically 90 some odd thousand difference between the two budgets.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I don't know. It's hard to say what people in this county are going to vote for. I have no clue.
If we want to just go through the budget, I can kind of talk through my rationale on different areas.
Sure.
So again, starting at the beginning, you've got, what we would get without HH and with HH. I have no idea at this point with
the specific ownership tax, so I just left that flat. That's the car, that's the tax we get from car tags. The interest that we pay on taxes, I also kept that flat in the budget. I did increase our investment income because we're in better, our money is in better money market accounts now. So we may make more than $12,000 on our interest, but I just left it low because we don't also know if we would be using our money for something. And then the grant, the Colorado State grant, I left that flat as well. The revenue from the meeting room, the copies, and just miscellaneous stuff, I left those flat because I really don't know. Those are really hard to predict. The actual that we brought in 2022 was almost $3,600, so that's hard to predict. I'm giving generous raises again this year. So last year, we gave what we told folks was like the first bump up, and I'm giving even more this year, but we're not giving a bonus. And last year we gave bonuses at the end of the year. So I'm trying to really give people a generous raise. We have a lot of part-timers and Alan and Robert set my salary. So that was an awkward conversation.
They're like, we forced it on her. No.
I'm like, how do I have this conversation with you guys? I have no idea. So anyway, but you can see, the increase over last year. And then the health and dental insurance is going up. So it's always kind of, we've got a couple new people coming in and we don't know what they're going to be taking for insurance. So that's a little bit hard to predict, but I think we're probably safe in that increase. In the previous year, we didn't budget for family, which is that new Colorado basically, it's if you get sick.
The Colorado family leave.
Right, oh. Right. If you get sick and need to be gone for months and months and months, the Colorado family leave will help. So we didn't budget for that previously because we started talking about it after I got here, and it was too late by then. Under facilities, I kept the current capital improvements at $50,000. That's just kind of, what we use. Like, I think we used it this year to pay for the repair of the heaters out in the warehouse. Mm-hmm. So just, yeah, and the fence we used, and then we got money back from a grant to pay for the fence, so that was really good. So that's staying flat. Similar rent is determined by lease, so that shouldn't be changing. I'm estimating our property and liability insurance, building repair and maintenance. I did increase that by $10,000. I also increased the furniture line item, doubled that. Grounds maintenance, I kept it flat. Janitorial service, I increased a wee bit. And we seem to be, I'm also categorizing things more carefully. So like janitorial, like if somebody buys tissues, like facial tissues, I categorize that as a janitorial expense because it's something we don't get back. It's not like an office supply. So I tripled that. Our utilities were quite a bit more this year, so I added quite a bit to those utilities. Mary Ellen and I went through this whole thing line by line, and so I didn't have it increased enough, and so she had asked me to increase it even more. The state grant, I didn't know. I've got it just flat. The summer reading program at the very bottom, I doubled that. I'm putting more money into programming, and the summer reading program is very, very important to us, and so I doubled that amount.
I have added quite a bit more to programming for all of the branches except for the district. I kept that fairly flat because programming is brings people in the door and gets them involved. I left the IT specialist there. I'm really thinking seriously, we need to ditch, I mean, we talked about that last year, that we were going to ditch the email system and go to another system. So that's the money in there for that. We need to replace a bunch of computers, so I increased that a little bit. And I also, I did increase the materials budget also, but I decreased the magazines because they're just not circulating. I increased our databases. We're not spending that much on collection supplies. That's like book covers and stuff, so I decreased that a little bit. I think under administration, I don't know if I made a lot of changes. I think that's pretty much... Oh, I did. I added more to employee rewards and recognition. So that $1,500 just hasn't gone very far this year. It's like buying T-shirts for staff that they wear a lot to work, that kind of thing. The audit was more this year than it, so I increased that. I don't know about how much the courier will increase, but I did increase that line item. I left our legal and human resources amount where they were. That covers employers' counsel and whenever I call the lawyer, and that's invaluable. That's really, really helpful. I think that's everything else is pretty much the same. So at the bottom, we have two funds. The general fund is like our normal operating fund. And so that's the first six lines there, five lines. And then we also have the capital improvement fund, which I show at the two lines on that last page. So in 2023, we said that we were going to save $200,000. So that would put our fund balance at $1.3 million. Next year, depending on what happens, we would either save $300,000 or $200,000. And so our fund balance would be $1.8 million or $1.7 million based on that. So this is just a draft. If you guys want to, you know, look at it, and you won't be approving it now until October. So we'll have the hearing in October about that. But I'm happy to go through it in more detail tonight or.
Okay.
Come see me or whatever.
I have one question, and then something it goes back to when we first started. They talked about getting this library out of here and getting it into rental quarters. And one of the things that we just stopped discussing it is because it was not addressed at all in the budget.
Ha! Huh. Good question. So my standard answers are, and I've been telling Anders today.
You're waiting for Anders.
That's it, exactly. It's waiting for Anders. So we need the community needs assessment to really tell us, you know, where are we going with the libraries and with library service in Elbert? Mm-hmm. And, you know, then we can kind of look at that and say, you know, is this a cost-effective thing for us to move? So then it would be maybe something, I mean, it depends on how much it takes us, you know, to move, you can, because we've got capital improvement fund money, mm-hmm. but we haven't, we've only budgeted $50,000 for like current capital improvements. We didn't actually budget for any other big projects. So we could do that.
if you want to do that.
So when are you going to give us the rest of the information?
I'm trying to remember what the original calendar is. I think it slipped maybe just a little bit. One of the things we need to wrestle with a bit is just all the year end holidays. What did we finally put into the contract? Was it like end of January, February, sometime?
I think so.
It was early next year. Yeah, we could do it a little quicker, but for you always wind up struggling with anything between Thanksgiving and New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we built a little bit of extra wiggle room in.
So we're not going to know until next year.
Beginning of next year.
That's the answer, I guess.
Okay.
So
it's an answer.
Somebody was saying we move at the speed of government. but I'm happy if we want to do that, I'm happy to do that.
So that's other just because my other thing is like, I know that they also have the contract here is that the books stay here, mm-hmm. even if we move.
Mm-hmm.
So just a thought that if we went to rental quarters, we would make that more of an adult library. And then gradually fill in with younger stuff so that we wouldn't beat the budget to death.
Yeah.
So just a thought.
Absolutely. It's a very good thought.
Okay, so are we done with item number 9, budget?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, number 10, collection development policy review, if time allows.
So, Lori Bancourt had asked me to put this on the agenda because she thought we've been kind of talking a lot about materials challenges and we've made some changes to the policy. So, it's just a good idea to review this policy so that you guys are familiar with it, but I'm quite happy to not talk about it tonight.
So we'll table that one? We'll make a motion to table that one?
I would second that motion.
Okay. I love that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Okay, number 11, Cal Conference Trustee Training.
So you are almost registered for that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. October 13th, what am I doing? Friday, October 13th, oh. I guess I'm not going to the other thing Friday.
I haven't registered you yet, so take a look at that. It was to be you and Robert and me to go.
Hmm. I really wanted to go.
California.
I'm sorry?
you look sorry.
And just look at, I signed up for a dog thing October 13th.
It's Death Valley instead of the beach.
What? It's 120 degrees there.
It's like my hometown.
Is it really?
Oh,
I'm from Yuma, Arizona.
Okay.
Yeah, he's from Arizona.
Okay, so are we down to public comment?
We're down to public comment. I think, are we getting in a rush, Alan?
No.
Step by step.
Just trying to keep the deal moving.
Okay, so do we have any public comments?
We have public.
I don't see any public.
No.
I don't know. This gentleman here might be.
I'm done. Alan wants me to be sure I'm done.
Okay. 13, any other items or business from board members?
I want to apologize for being late. I was over in Kiowa, and my brain is just mush lately. So here I am.
Hey, that happens to all of us, trust me.
You know that.
Okay, so do we have a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Okay.
Then I'll second it.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. The time is 7:40.